Hello and welcome to the second Manx Footy Pod of the new season. On today's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by Manx Football's Mr. Multimedia himself, Paul Hatton. Hattie, welcome and thanks for coming in today.
Right, thank you for inviting me.
No probs. We thought we'd better get you in because we are just over 24 hours away now, boys, from the start of the 2017/18, not 16/17, as I put in the paper earlier today, league season. This has meant this week we've put pen to paper, or type to print, as it were, as the loosely titled Manx Football Pundits. Now, this is where we put our neck on the line, isn't it, boys?
Yeah, we put our head above the parapet.
To usually be shot down, as we said.
We normally do, anyway, because all of our predictions are normally wrong.
Well, Dave's a scattergun approach to a punditry, so you usually get 1 in 5, right?
Yeah, I think last year I got one thing right out of the whole thing, but, you know, I'll take that. It's my best ever return.
So we'll have a look at what we've plumped for, as it were, a bit later on, but I suppose let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Let's start off with the top flight, the Premier League, as it obviously is the highest league. Hattie, what do you think we can expect from the Canterlife Premier League this season? Is it going to be another year of St George's dominance?
I'd probably say Geordies will win the league title. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have set the standard, in terms of Manx football, I think they've set the standard really, really high, which other teams have found it very difficult to emulate. That's why they've been so dominant. Mm-hmm. I think they've won 10 out of the 12 league titles, the Division 1 titles. I'd expect pretty much the same again, but I think teams to watch out for this year will be definitely Corinthians. They will be buoyed by the recent Charity Shield win. Mm-hmm. And also Peel, I think they've got a few players back, or some players returning from their footballing sabbaticals.
Yeah, they've made some good signings, haven't they?
Yeah, they've made some very, very good signings. I'd expect probably likes of Russian to feature too as well. Maybe outside chance, maybe Old Boys, maybe St. John's too as well. They've all had pretty good pre-seasons, what I'm led to believe.
Can we read much into Sunday's result? We'll talk about that briefly now. Yeah. Obviously, it's Corinthians 1-4-3. Me and Hattie were both there. Last-minute winner from Dan Simpson. He's had a bit of a year at the moment. To quote the kids, he's doing bits, isn't he, at the moment? Yes. 90th-minute winner, 4-3. Has to be said, it would have been quite even up to that point. St George's had probably had the pressure on in that last half an hour. Yeah. It was a bit of a counter, and obviously there was a bit of a mistake in defence. But can we read much into it? I know both teams were missing players.
Yes.
Hattie, what do you think?
I mean, I think probably one thing that probably Corinthians will take from that. I think I can't remember the last time Geordies surrendered a 2-goal lead.
Yeah.
Because normally when you have to beat Geordies, you have to clock up around maybe 2 or 3 goals in the first half and shut shop in the second half because they really, really do go for you. And that was pretty much the case in the Charity Shield the last 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Corinthians just couldn't get out of their own half. They were just really good. Geordies were gunning for Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And that is like Geordies to just go for the jugular. But I think Corinthians will take a lot of positives from that because come around 3-1 at half time, you think with Geordies, think psychologically, I think Geordies would have had that in the bag. Mm. But for Corinthians to turn it round like they did and score 3 goals in the second half is a give credit to them.
I agree. Because, I mean, I think in the league fixture last year when Corinthians infamously beat Geordies, weren't they like 3-1 up in that one and they sort of held on in the second half, didn't they, in that one? So it was a bit of a role reversal almost, but they still managed to dig out the result.
And definitely, but I think one thing we should notice about if Geordies, whenever they do lose, it always tends to stir up a footballing hornet's nest. I think they will be like really, really fired up and geared up for the forthcoming season, without a doubt.
They've got St John's on Saturday. They could be the ones that feel the backlash. We'll talk about the weekend's fixture a bit later on, but as you say, they tend to come back stronger, don't they?
Definitely.
And of course, we must remember, they lost to Peel in the Charity Shield last year, and then went on and won the Grand Slam.
Yes.
So, as omens go, it's not the worst, is it?
No. I think what would be interesting is, obviously, and I know you've mentioned this, Andy, in your excellent predictions, but Chris Bass Jr. is going to be away for the first 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
He's away training to be a firefighter, so, and best of luck to him for that. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to be a big loss to them. But they have held on to Callum. Callum Morrissey, which is obviously...
Yeah, and I was thinking of this, you know, at the start of the season when Callum did the infamous tweet, which I looked for the other day and seems to have maybe disappeared.
Oh, that's strange. Nice.
Okay.
I did think, well, fair enough, you know, he's going to try something different. But now, I look at it and how the rest of the window's panned out, I think if he'd gone, Geordie's might have been struggling this season. They had... Yeah. Three or four on the bench on Saturday night. It wasn't a full bench, wasn't it? I know they had a few people away. Sam Kane was away. Joey Morling, I think, had just come back. That's why he was just on the bench. If they'd lost Callum, they would be struggling a bit, especially.
And also, too, as well, just as some of the players from the combination squad have gone to other clubs, likes of... I think Rijkaard has signed one of the players.
Johnny Lund, well, he was in the first team squad a bit last year. But again, another decent, good squad player who's disappeared. So we've got the kids coming through. You know, that's a point I think I made briefly in the 155 words I had to play with in 4-5-1. I think, you know, the kids are going to be probably even more important than ever this season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll have to have a look at the what we've pumped. I know, of course, I'm not going to reveal all the predictions because I want you to go out and spend your hard-earned money on a Max Independent and the 8-page 4-5-1, the thing of beauty that it is.
All 90 pence of it.
All 90 pence. All of us, bar the renegade himself, Mr. Clegg, have gone for St. George's to retain their title.
Yeah.
He's pumped for Peel, and that's not the silliest suggestion, is it?
I have to say, I mean, Peel are going to be good this year. Obviously, they're sorting out their off-the-field problems. The pitch should be back in action within the next few weeks. Did you believe mid-September, was it?
16th of September. I was talking to Max briefly at the Church Shield. He says he believes that's when they're going to have their first home game. So this week's their combi fixture, which is obviously the open firm game, will be down in Colby this week. But yes, so that's going to be a massive plus for them. But again, I've done this twice, I've said it already, they have done bits as well, haven't they?
They have done bits.
They've got some really good signings. Yes.
And a lot of people are tipping Sean Kelly to do really well this year. Yes.
Yeah, the only thing with Sean, I don't know what his travel plans are again this year.
Yeah.
I know it's good for the podcast because we get hits in far-flung places. Well, we assume it's Sean. We don't actually know. But I think he might be going travelling again. So we don't know how long people have him for. But while they've got him, he's going to be a big player.
Absolutely. And I think he's had good experience at both ends of the table previously. And I think he'll bring good mentality, I think, to the squad. And yeah, he should fit in quite nicely with that setup. Yeah.
I suppose the big thing for them, though, this Peel this year is the return of the prodigal son, isn't it? Lee Gale.
Definitely.
Oh, I suppose he's Foxdale's prodigal son, technically, isn't he?
And also Max Thomas.
Yes.
Well, and Max Thomas, too, as well. I work with Dan Pickering, and we discussed about Peel there just 1 or 2 days or so ago, and he probably wrote down a piece of paper. Probably around 18, 19, 20 players all pushing for first team. No, some players are out injured this season, but when they come back, I think Falky will have a bit of a major selection headache, and that's good to see all these players pushing for those 11 places.
Absolutely.
On the Saturday afternoon.
Has there been any word on Josh Kelly yet?
Not in the moment, no.
We tried to... Well, for want of a better phrase, tapping up is better after the dead is on the phone, but she was remaining very tightly. She reckons she'd be the last to know anyway, depending on what. We're talking about Amy at the FA, that she wasn't giving anything away. So it would be, again, if he comes back, though, you'd have to say that's another massive shot in the arm for them.
Yes.
Well, top four, most people seem to be going with the Corinthians, Peel, St Mary's. Do we think they're going to be up there again? Of course, they started the season last year. They were the ones that were giving Geordies the headache, really, wasn't it?
They were. They got off to an excellent start. Yeah. And a key thing for them is obviously they've kept a hold of Alex Harrison and Carl Clark. And that was what their good start of the season was based upon last year.
Yeah.
But there's a new man in charge.
Brian Carney, former Onken Old Boys and Ramsey, I think.
Onken, St Mary's. He's done Douglas Royal women's football team too as
well. An experienced man at the helm there.
And I think he's done Paul Rose too as well.
Right, that wouldn't surprise me. So he's going to obviously bring in some fresh ideas. I believe Kirill, who seems to be Brian's go-to man in between goals, has returned to. I don't know if Mark's playing this season.
Haven't heard of him from Blairer.
So, obviously, he had a bit of 6 months spell with him towards the end of last year. So, I think Kirill will be a decent signing, though. He's always a steady, pretty steady Eddie, isn't he?
He is. Very, very good. But I think they are what I saw there at the start of this season. I think the likes of Alex and Carlo Regula features within the team of the week, and that early start, good start, was based around that defensive unit, that central defensive.
Well, I think Alex became the first player to get back-to-back player of the month.
He was, yes, I believe, yeah. And
one for you there, Stat fans.
He was our most popular guest last year,
yes,
on the podcast.
Oh, yes, right. That's had nearly 700 listens, that.
That's amazing.
And that's nearly as many as I.
Almost. And you were saying,
how many of those are stateside?
Most of them, yeah. He's a bit popular chap in America.
Yes.
Let's still talk about the top four. Yourself, Hattie, Eric, and even you, Disco, have all prompted for Russian to make a bit of a top four charge this year.
I've been impressed with some of their signings. Most notably, they've got Murphy, and they've got
Craig Murphy, and Josh Thomas, from Old Boys. Yeah. Craig scored a lot of goals, actually, last year, 23, something like that.
I think I went to the annual prize presentation, said that he was leading goal scorer, so which not surprised about that. I think someone to put the ball in the back of the net, you know, goals are the hard currency in football, and you know they'll provide more of a attacking edge up front, support likes of Mikey Williams,
who had a great season last year. So if he can push on,
Josh Thomas was one of my players of the year last year. Thought he did a cracking job, and he took on the captaincy role. I think I'm doing a disservice to the other players there, but I thought he had a great season playing. Really, he really shone in that central midfield berth for me, and I think he'll add a bit of energy and to that. I think that's what they've been lacking: someone that can maybe put their foot on the ball as well as put their foot in.
I noticed that when Old Boys played Peel last year down at Colby, and they won 1-0. And Josh was easily man of the match in that game. He was everywhere. And that was the first time I'd properly seen him in that central midfield role. And he was fantastic.
So it bodes well for Russian. They could, again, be outsiders for silverware, we're going to say, on the radar, as it were. Yeah. Let's turn our attention to the bottom of the league. There's quite a few names being mentioned in this. The two promoted sides obviously feature, but seemingly the gap between the two divisions is getting a bit bigger. Hattie, you saw a lot of them last year, obviously, Brandon and Royal. Do you think they're well equipped to stay up?
I think probably they are, because I think they do have something. Again, they do have an attacking edge. Oh, no, like said, Brandon, we've lost Andy Glover, but they do have the likes of Stuart Pacey and Connor Dempsey.
Who's been there before in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's been there before. And also Douglas Royal have got the likes of Craig Dolman and Paul Whitley. Mm-hmm. It's just likes of Colby and Ramsey, the way how I feel. I don't know where the goals are going to come from.
No.
That's where they are going to struggle.
I think that's a fair point. I think if you look, you know, it's the most simple thing in football, isn't it? You need a goal scorer, otherwise you're going to struggle. Especially over here, we did a stat at the start of the season, over a couple of weeks ago on Twitter. Since the Premier League began, so that was in 10 seasons ago, there's only been 11 goalless draws. Clean sheets aren't favoured over here. Manx defenders don't know how to shut out. So, goals is the key, as it were. What else has been tipped to Vegas? You say Ramsey. They're looking to youth, really.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I spoke to Lewis Qualter about this, and you are right. They are going to really feature predominantly. The youth is going to predominantly feature this year. Whether or not they have that footballing know-how and the physicality to see if they could, if they could hack it is a good way. In the top flight remains to be seen.
Has to be said, the core of that squad, though, you'd think have done a season now.
Yeah.
We've talked about it with Union Mills in the past. It almost takes 6 months to a year to get used to it. And I think Lewis said that himself to me when I was talking to him. It does take a while to get that step up from under 18 football as it is now to senior football. It's massive. And they've had that year now. You know, they know what's going to be. I think they also know the teams they need to beat, don't they? They know that, with all due respect, they're going to probably take a bit of a pasting at the top four teams.
Yes.
But if they can pick points up elsewhere, that's where it's going to be the key to their season, isn't it?
Which makes this weekend even more intriguing with two of those teams pitted against each other, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, obviously, Royal are hosting Ramsey, the game you're going to today.
Absolutely, up at Balfletcher, yep.
So that'll be an interesting gauge. I know it's only early season, but it is, actually, we'll talk about this a bit later, but Reps has put together a good first opening weekend, isn't it?
It is a cracker, isn't it?
Towards Division 2, it seems a little bit more of a bun fight to me, that. There could be one of about half a dozen, any two of half a dozen teams could go up at the end of the season.
Now, I'm sure I will be ridiculed for my predictions for Division 2, but it was so difficult. I think outside the bottom four, other than that, any of those top positions could change. I just think it is going to be so competitive. I think Youthy and Malou have taken the headlines with some of the signings that they've made. We'll come on to that in a sec. But I think even after that, you've got Castletown, Foxdale, Paul Rose, people like that. They've made some good signings as well. So I think it could be a really interesting season.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting because, you know, we've all gone for St George's, apart from Eric, to win the Premier League. I think I'm just having a quick scan over, a couple of us have gone for Castletown, but then a couple for Youthy, including our new pundit, who we'll talk about in shortly. There's also Malou in the mix, Foxdale, Onken, Ayr, there's U Mills. You know, there, as you say, there's six clubs that could potentially... or six or seven even probably that could potentially feature in those top two. We'll talk about the transfers because we've had, you're never off the job here, right? You've had some more social media come through this morning saying that Malou have picked up a few more players.
They've been like the Harry Redknapps off this transfer window. They've been like wheeling and dealing and just saw on social media that Daniel Foster, he's signed I think from Borussia. And I think two former players have returned, signed from Douglas and District, a double swoop, if that's a good, and Sam Tipper, whom I'm led to believe was Douglas and District's player of the year last year, and also Luke Callister as well.
Centre-half,
in the centre. And also their goalkeeper, to another goalkeeper, Chris Kirkham. No, that was a position that they were looking to fill this year.
We'll talk about Malou briefly, because this is sort of, I saw a little bit of debate about this on Twitter last night. It was Malou... pretty early in the window said they'd abolish subs. I think you still play a match, you might be wrong here if you don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But they've gone three subs, and I think, you know, the
big draw,
You have to say that they've rolled the dice here, because last year they couldn't field the combi. They had to do something, didn't they?
Yes. Well, they had to. I mean, it's but I think probably three subs will probably help the club in the short term, without a doubt. I know that they were given left some money in terms of a legacy, and what I like to see in that legacy would be maybe some long-term projects to us, for like sort of junior football, boys, girls, women's football. Mm. Every time I drive past Malou when I go into work in the car or on the bus, I see like they do a lot of work on the pitch. You know, they absolutely great some of the facilities that, you know, down there in terms of the maintenance of the pitch. But I like to see like some other projects involved there, Malou.
Do we think we get to the end of this year and Malou decide, right, we're going to put subs back in, you can have a mass exodus? Or do we think it's going to be, we'll get to the end of this first season and everyone's been like, oh, I've had such a great time, I don't mind paying X amount next year?
I think it would depend on how they do this season. I think if they were to get promoted, I don't think anyone would have a problem.
Probably if they had a absolutely great season, they'll be on a high that on that footballing season. If they've won some silverware or got promoted, why would you want to leave?
Well, they've signed some good players, haven't they? Yeah. But obviously, Dave, you can shed a bit more light on this, but I know Dale Walker and Peter Dunn, the vastly experienced Peter Dunn, has signed from Pulley. Two good signings.
And another one which we believe is going through imminently is Darren Flanagan, also from Poros, which...
massive signing. And obviously, Daniel Thirlwell has already re-signed from Governors Athletic. Don't be fooled by the picture that he was in goalkeeper kit the other day. I think he will be up top for the rest of the season. So that's goals pretty much guaranteed, isn't it? And as we've said, that is key, isn't it?
And also Dean Kinley too as well. Yeah, he'll be wearing the Suns. So
we get Kinley, Thirlwell, and Flanagan up top. There won't be many teams better than that.
Definitely. That'll be some attacking unit in Division 2 for next season, without a doubt.
Right, so I suppose changing the topic slightly, while we've got you in Hattie, I suppose we should ask, who do you think the other big development over the summer was? Both the RMNFA's senior management left, you know, and Hurty and Quilly. Yes. We talked about it briefly in last week's soft launch podcast.
Yeah, we tried to throw your name in the hat for the women's
show. Yeah, you did, yeah. And we said you've probably seen the most women's football out of anyone. So you probably, maybe I said suggested more of a director of football role, you know.
Right, okay.
But, is there any obvious candidates to you for either role, Hattie? Let's talk about the men's one first.
Men's one, you're probably maybe looking at maybe likes of Paul Jones. And probably maybe likes of maybe Chris Bass Senior, because he has been the most successful manager in Manx football.
Yeah.
You'd like to make, would Burnsy go back in a coaching capacity? I don't know, but I know he's in a coaching capacity with the under-18s.
Yeah.
or maybe Dicko. Yeah. So that's who would probably like to maybe see involved, whether or not they decide to take on the role remains to be seen. But I think they've got to act fast because they've got some just a few weeks away to the National League systems and also the follow up the same week.
Insert name here, quadrangular tournament. Yeah.
Is there anyone from left field, any outside name you'd like to put forward?
I think it's going to be someone with a proven pedigree in Manx football.
I think they obviously talk about it in the professional game. It has someone that's probably going to have the respect of the players, isn't it? You know.
You've got to be hatty then.
What about the women's job? Obviously, that's most of your Sundays during the season you've spent watching women's football. Is there any sort of obvious candidates for that role?
I'd probably first candidate springs to mind would be Michael Kohler. Yeah. I think the only thing that would be holding him back, he's currently the manager of MIFA.
Right.
But I
don't think they've played any fixtures or anything yet.
They haven't. No. Mm. But he played a key role in the Gotland. In this year's Ireland games, in terms of like having a say, input into team, you know, tactics, and he does have a proven track record, having already won the league and FA Cup with Peel 2 years ago. That was it.
And a team that Peel has to be said, he brought a lot of youth through with that team, didn't he?
Definitely. So,
and that's, I think, key to particularly football, women's football in Ireland, is bringing new players through, isn't it? Yeah. And that's what Quilly did to a certain extent, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, he because the take a look at the number of the players that was in that squad. They started their junior football with Corinthians, likes of Sarah O'Reilly, Jade Burden, Olivia Toombs. There was a few of them.
Yeah.
And there was a number of Corinthians players within that squad.
And you mentioned the Ireland Games, so you put this question to me last week, so I'm going to put it to Hattie. You were there for the Ireland Games. You covered virtually every match that you could, even with lengthy trips to Farisund and God knows where else.
Yes.
How was it? I mean, what a privilege it must have been to see the silver and the gold medals.
Yeah, definitely. That was my sixth Ireland Games.
Wow, veteran.
Yes, yeah. But I think I've enjoyed every one.
You must have only been about 12 when you were at the first time.
But that, to me, I've enjoyed every one, but that one was probably the best one to date.
Right, we've had a couple of Twitter questions in, Hattie.
Okay, go on.
Before I get to them, there's a question I meant to ask last time when you were in last season. Your profile pic on Twitter, is that you signing an autograph?
No, that's me signing on the back of a photo frame, because that was...
Are you giving them out now?
No. Well, it was... It was a few years ago. It was at the Foxtel AFC annual prize presentation held at down the Cronkbourne Cricket Club.
Right.
And you probably mentioned Mr. one of the members of the Betteridge family. Yeah. On my shoulder. Yeah. And I gave a couple of photos of the teams in a frame, just as maybe to auction off as raffle prizes. And the person who won it just started passing around to sign it, and they just gave the photo to me saying, well, how do you mind if I sign this? Because no problem at all. Mm-hmm. So it's a signed photo on the back of a...
I think it sold on eBay, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It went for hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
Right, D&D have been in, tweeted. That was a bit old school.
Yeah.
An SMS.
Okay. Yeah. are you looking forward to the D&D coach trip on Saturday night, Hattie? And they ask, would me or you, Dave, like to come as guests? Well, I get coach sick, so that and ale will probably be a very hideous combination. Thank you very much for the invite, but I politely decline. Dave?
I'm meant to be taking the missus out for a date on Saturday night, so if I don't do that, I'd be in serious trouble.
So Dave will be there. Hattie, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be good.
Is it the traditional mountain course route?
Or? That's right, yes. Yes, from Douglas to Ramsey, and stop a few pubs en route too as well. I did the same last year.
Yeah.
And
and you're still here to tell the tale.
Yeah. Yes.
Any particular favourite watering holes?
There's some nice pubs in Ramsey. Quite like the... Is it still a George?
On the square?
That's quite nice.
Good, yeah. You're right, there are some lovely pubs. The Plough, a few weeks ago, I was in the Plough. Jamie Moffat, Ramsey and Kurt Michael, legend, was serving behind the bar there. So there is it. Yeah, you were in for a treat, I would say. There's a few hot spots there. We've had a tweet from the Altrincham ladies.
Yes, Keith Edelson.
Keith. Hattie, we loved having you over to watch and take photos of our games, but which game was the most enjoyable to watch?
I think it's probably their first league match, which was to start the season, where they beat Egerton 4-1. They take on a one goal half time lead just in the stroke of half time. I think we had a penalty, Altrincham awarded a penalty, which is either saved or the goal or missed. Well, then the second half, we absolutely were dominant and we won the match 4-1. That was a great second half performance from the women's team too as well.
And are you continuing in the role this
year? Well, I mean, I haven't really thought that far ahead at the moment because I'm going on a holiday towards the end of September time, and the following week after that, I am going to go to Glasgow to report on the club. So I haven't really thought that far ahead at the moment. I probably may pop over, but probably won't. It's not as
frequently.
Not as frequently compared to last year. I will make a.
You were clocking the air miles up last year. Yeah.
You even got a was it a media director's jacket?
Yes.
It was quite impressive, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now we're not going to ask the same question last year of what's your favourite Chinese takeaway.
I've got one more. I forgot to put it on the sheet. Hang on, just before we go in with Dave's question of the week. Another Dave Matheson tweeted in. Hattie, don't know if you saw this. What does it feel to be the nicest man in Manx football?
Am I?
That's some title. Yeah, yeah.
Am I?
Well, I'm not too keen, but she says it was along the tweet. It was something along the lines of you probably do more than anyone else for Manx football.
Absolutely,
and I think that's a fair compliment.
It is.
Thank you. That's a nice compliment. It's, I think when you go out and report, I think you just want to make sure you get the message out there to people. I mean, people, if they score a goal and I'm there on a camcorder. Maybe 1 or 2 hours afterwards, it's on YouTube, and people can just click on it, and just, you know, when they go out in the town on a Saturday night, they could just keep on pressing the play buttons on them mobile apps, and this is me scoring a goal.
So how many views are we up to now? I think it was something ridiculous last year. So
I think I passed the half a million mark.
Wow.
Mark.
And give everyone, what is it? What's the if they want to subscribe? What's your
Prof Hattie,
there you go. I have to say, on a Monday morning, I tend to watch the highlights, Dave. It was Manx of the day, as it were.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Right, go on then, Dave. What's your question?
Well, this is it. Last year, we were asking about what's your favourite Chinese takeaway. Yeah. And I know you infamously said you don't really eat takeaways.
Yes, I don't really eat Chinese, no. That's not really.
So we're going to have to come up with a new question. I guess we could sort of... We'll broaden the question I asked you before about the favourite watering holes. That was just on
that's course. A good one.
But I think, in the whole of the island, what's your favourite pub or drinking establishment?
Yeah.
Ooh. I was going to...
Are you speechless?
I don't really go out drinking at all.
Yeah, come on.
No, I don't. Well, okay.
Twisted your arm then, came over on a brand new mission, where would you take
it? I'll tell you what, I like the British.
The British?
Yeah, because
of the gin.
Correct. They've got 57 types of different gin there.
And so, how many have you had?
I've had quite a few of them.
Doesn't go out.
Bit of free advertising there. That's quite a nice pub along North Quay there, especially on a sunny day.
Bit of a walk from Port Erin though.
I work in Douglas, so I just work around the corner from there.
A lunchtime tipple.
Keep your eye in.
Yes.
Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, I caught up with Sean Doyle, the Manx Peter Crouch, after Corinthians edged past St George's in Sunday's Charity Shield. Let's have a listen to what he had to say now about the match and, more importantly, about Cameron Lee's haircut. Sean... Well, I don't know how to put that into words. It was meant to be a gentle Sunday afternoon, but 4-3, three penalties, multiple bookings, it was a bit more than that, wasn't it?
I'm surprised the ref kept holding it, to be honest. It was a very scrappy, well-contested game, probably the most polite way to put it.
And are we talking about the first of many here, or what?
We'd like to think so. Obviously, Geordies aren't an easy team to beat, and they're not the best team possibly ever to play on the island for no reason, so we'd like to think we can challenge them again and again, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how the season bears out. Railway Cup's our first target, and then we'll see how we get on in the cup finals and the league as well.
But it sets you up nicely for next week. You know, the confidence will be sky high this week, won't it? Yeah. So as you say, Railway Cup, that's the initial aim, is it?
Railway Cup's obviously the first initial target, top four by Christmas. Get a Railway Cup, see what we can do. Hopefully we can get to a final. We didn't get there last year, unfortunately, but hopefully we can this year. We've got a good squad, good coaches, so we'll see.
And just touch on that. I was looking at your bench, strong bench today. You know,
strong bench. We got Chris Cannell, our captain, missing as well. Danny Orham, unfortunately, missed out. So we got players missing still. So we got strength and depth everywhere. So hopefully, we can challenge.
And let's just put a quick mention of Cam Lee coming back today. That haircut's pretty special, isn't it?
I've said to him he's going to play for Douglas' team. He needs a two on the back and side. But he's not having it. I think he's going for the man bun or something. But
it reminded me a bit of Lexi Lalas in World Cup '94. That I don't know if he spent a bit too long.
It's shocking. Hopefully, I can try and get it cut off tonight in the celebrations. So.
Well, I'll let you go and celebrate.
Perfect.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Right, guys, welcome back. It's the second podcast of the season. We've got Hattie in. Hello, Hattie.
Hello, Andy.
We're going to look ahead to Saturday's first league games of the season. Is everyone excited, chaps?
Can't wait.
I think we're just chomping at the bit when it comes to reporting.
Of course, Hattie, before that, we failed to touch on this earlier. You're going to go into full Jim White, aren't you, and be down the bowl tomorrow?
Well, I'll be there for my yellow tie, yes.
Signings for Liverpool, please.
I think it'll be interesting to see what players will drive up to opposing football car grounds, who they could instigate moves themselves, like the infamous West Brom winger. Was it Peter?
Are we saying that Cal Alexander at Malou has been the Max Football's Harry Redknapp?
Yeah, I think that's a title you two seem to have bestowed upon him. you'll be there with you and Richard Brandt putting the tea on, will you?
That's right, yes.
Processing any last minute moves. So keep an eye on Hattie's at Hattie1970 Twitter account for all the latest moves, the last minute moves. Yeah, 12 o'clock, the door slams shut, doesn't it?
I think it's 11 or 12.
But, depending on what time Rich needs to leave, I guess.
Yeah. I'll be there to bring up any last minute deals.
Right, so let's have a look at the Canal Life Premier League. One massive game sort of jumps off the page to me. The game I'm going to at Croydon Larry, Rush and Peel, the old firm. Gentle start to the game for these two. I know it's only early season, but this game will probably act as a gauge as to where both of them are, won't it?
Definitely. And, you know, they are two teams, you know, featured to finish within the top four this year. So I'm expecting a good, close, competitive match.
I agree. I think, obviously, we can't really gauge any form for these. Yeah. In these sort of matches, form does go out the window anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting gauge. I would not be surprised if this finished in a draw. This could go either way.
Yeah.
Russians' home form was pretty strong last year. I think they only lost one at the Croydon in Costa del Port Erin. So I think they're... as you say, this is going to be a good test of Peel's title credentials, really. If they get a result out of this, they're going to be flying, aren't they?
Yeah, and also it's interesting to see how the new signings will bed into as well. I mean, this is normally maybe just a nice easing into the fixture, but bump, you hit with an old firm derby, aren't you?
Straight off the bat.
What a way to put your name in the Russian folklore if you've just got a last minute winner versus Peel on the other
day. The Wailing Wall, I'm sure, will be in full force. Dave, you're off to Battle of Fletcher. An early, are we calling this a 9-pointer? Douglas Royal versus Ramsey?
I think, we called this before, didn't we, that these teams are going to have to take points off each other if they're to survive in the Premier League this season. What a way to do it. I mean, I would probably fancy Royal, actually, in this one, with home advantage. I think they'll be able to prove a point. And Ramsey can be slow starters sometimes, can't they? But
Royal got a new manager, of course, in Chris Feeney. He'll be making his competitive debut as in charge. I believe I got a message off him this week. He's registered himself as a player as well, which is quite good, because I think there are a few bodies short at the moment. Big signing, though, for me was Duna. Christian Selimer has signed from Union Mills, so he brings with him tons of experience and a Golden Glove only a couple of seasons ago, so he's a decent keeper at this level. Yeah.
And also, I think Quirky is... Quirky's left.
John Quirky's
just left.
But they have got players still in that squad that have played in the Premier League in the past. Ramsey, it's up to the kids now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you touched on it in your preview that Ramsey are missing a couple of big players at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, Lewis Qualto has chipped a bone in his ankle in pre-season, so he's out for a few weeks. I think Chris Horsley, who is, I think, a really talented player, left-footed, he's struggling with back injury at the moment, so they're going to be both big misses for them this week. As you say, probably Royal just tipping this maybe to get off the few points on the board.
Yeah, I don't want to call every game to finish as a draw, but this one could easily.
I'm tipping for a win.
For Royal.
Yeah, Royal.
The champions start their title defence with a tricky test away at St John's, really, isn't it?
Well, I think because I heard that St John's beat them in a pre-season, albeit what you read into pre-season results is another thing. But
I have to say, sorry to cut into it, I saw a bit of that game because I was playing football in the Astro next to it. I know you probably find that hard to believe, listeners. The most remarkable bit about that game was Neshko Marinov's outfit. I tweeted it at the time. He was head to toe in a fluorescent orange waterproof.
Well, Neshko always does things differently. So.
I'm thinking maybe this is a thing we can start on Twitter this year. See if you can get a selfie with Neshko.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then we'll get... It'll be big on Facebook if you do, because he gets hundreds of likes for every single thing he does.
So. What about the under hashtag or something like that?
Yeah, it was a hashtag. Well, where's Neshko?
Where's Neshko?
Is the hashtag. So if everyone sees Neshko this weekend, try and get a selfie with him. Send it to our...
It's got to be hashtag Lumineshko.
Lumineshko. at Manx Footy Blog, and we'll give it a retweet and put you in. We'll do some sort of competition. We'll find a prize. Yeah. But yes, back to the football. St John's obviously got a new man in charge. One of five teams in the top flight to change their management team this year. Rick Holden, you know, obviously, what do we need to say about Rick? He's been there, done that.
Yeah, bought the T-shirt.
He will probably set up St John's to hit the Geordies on the break, you'd suggest.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, Geordies are still pretty much a team to beat. I don't think this will be... I'm going to tip Geordies to win, but I don't think it'll be a straightforward victory like Geordies have done before in the past.
Alex Holden had a good Ireland game, I'm led to believe. He will be a bit of a surprise inclusion in that squad, but you proved me wrong. He had a good campaign. And
I think him and Dan Simpson were surprise inclusions. They were both standout players.
Definitely. I mean, it's because now Dan Simpson was last minute call up too as well. I mean, he just...
A late replacement for Chris Bass Jr.
Yeah, he just really settled into that. Ireland felt really, really well and very, very quickly, and he was like key in creating and also goals, but also scoring them too as well.
Well, let's talk about Simpson. His Corinthians make the trip to Douglas Athletic. I dispelled a bit of a myth in the videos. You see that everyone was always banged on about the Douglas Athletic pitch being tight and hard to beat, but their away form was better last season.
It was
right.
I think. Corinthians will obviously be expected to win this, and they will be massively buoyed by that win against Geordies last week. But Athletic won't make that easy for them. They've welcomed back into the fold. Well, Conor Dowell full time now as well, isn't he?
And Mikey Callister,
two big players for them. So I think they're in for a decent season this year. Athletic.
Yeah. Corinthians looked good though. They looked at times last year. I have to say both teams looked a bit ring rusty, but on Sunday Corinthians looked really good going forward. They just break with pace and directness, and I think if they're going to really want to be put themselves in that top one, top two bracket, they need to be winning games like this and winning them convincingly. So this is going to be a good test. And
I wondered where their big absentee this season is Josh Ryder, who's obviously gone off travelling. But they didn't seem to miss him against Geordies, did they?
They've got a few options up front. I think Chris Cannell will be a bit big loss. Obviously, Tom Smith and Cameron Lee were at centre half at the weekend. Both looked good. Well, apart from Cam's haircut.
How many retweets did you have?
All right. Well, this is the thing. We've affected change this week. Now, it may not be a big thing. But I don't know if you saw how I tweeted a picture of Cameron Lee suggesting he looked like World Cup 94 stalwart Alexi Lalas.
Yes.
Who I mentioned that to Sean after the match. Sean just looked blankly at me because I forgot, you know, he probably wasn't even born in 1994. But yes, Alexi Lalas and Cameron came on Twitter and said, right, if this gets 53 tweets, the hair will go. And it's got 52.
Right.
So it could be a spectacular unfleecing at some point.
Can we get Alexi Lalas over to shave the hair off?
I think he's a busy man these days, but I'll give him a tweet and see what we can do.
Just talking about the Corinthians too as well, towards the end of last season, I saw them play against a match against St Mary's, which won 6-2, and that probably had to go as down to one of the best team performances I saw last season, because they were... I think 3 or 4 nil up at half time. They could have really very easily had double figures against St Mary's side at the start of the season that prided itself on its defensive unit.
I think they are definitely the ones to watch this year. Right, so talking to St Mary's, they play at home to Colby. It should be 3 points, and get Brian Carney's good tenure off to a good start, yeah. Shouldn't he?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that they get a win under the belt first game of the season at home too as well.
Yeah,
and you know I'm tipping for St Mary's winning that one.
I was at this this fixture last season down at the Bowl, and one thing to say about Colby, yeah, they won't be favourites to win this, but they work hard. They're a very hard working side. Yeah. And I know you've tipped him in your predictions that Jordan Primrose-Smith, he's got the makings of being a top striker. Mm. He's a very, very good player. He will cause defences problems this year.
Definitely.
But yeah, St Mary's, I think they'll win this one, and they'll get off to a solid start to the season.
I've just had a quick scan. I think Hattie has as well. We're the two pundits that have plumped for relegation for Colby. I just feel like they've been very quiet in the summer. They haven't brought many players in. Yeah. I didn't think they had the biggest of squads, to be honest, last year. I just think they could be up against it this year. I know they were 16 points clear of the bottom two last year, but I don't think that's going to happen this time around. No.
Well, they've lost a couple of players, haven't they? Carlin and Blake?
Blake and Andrew Hughes. I don't know how much London and Hughes were involved in the first team, but Blake was definitely...
Yeah, he was a big player for them.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll have to see. The old saying goes, adversity bonds, so that'll be them. That'll be pinned up in the change room. Right?
I think that'll be their pre-match team talk, you know. The ideal motivation.
Yeah. I'd say we do have to pick two teams, though.
Yes.
we're picking on them.
Hence why I put Nexham on the block. Yeah. Above the parapet.
Right, the final top flight game this Saturday sees Blacksea under new manager Paul Callow welcome the last year's Division 2 champions, Douglas Royal, Braddon. That's a bit of a Freudian slip. Braddon up to the Glen Road. So this will be an interesting game. It will be a good gauge of how Braddon are going to get on this year.
This will. Now, obviously, Steve Rand stepped down at Glen Road, and Paul Callow's come in, and he's put a four-year plan in place, I believe, and it's...
I've seen the dossier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul's a good manager, and I think he will get those players together. I think with Blacksea, it's difficult to know with them. You know, there can be a bit of a yin-yang side sometimes, but they're also quite a young side.
Yeah, well, I think we've touched on Peel doing good business in the transfer, but most of that has come from Blacksea.
Yeah.
They've lost one of the more experienced players. This is the year where they blood the kids that got them to the Cal Cup final, that got them to the Junior Cup final, and putting them into the first team. I think, you know, that we've seen they are talented players, Matthew Wilkinson, George Burrows and the like. They're good footballers. I think it may be a slow start, if I'm being honest, because it does take a while to get used to things. But they're going to be firmly in that mid-table mire, I think, this year, and it's definitely a year to build for next.
Absolutely, I agree. With Braddon, I mean, they're obviously going to go in on the back of a huge, you know, massively confidence-boosting season where they won the treble. Yes, they haven't got Andy Glover, which is a huge loss to them, but as Hattie, you mentioned before, Connor Dempsey, Stu Pacey, Joey Andrews is still there at the back, because there were rumours towards the back end of last season that he was going to leave, but he's still there. Yeah, he's a huge player for them.
Definitely.
They've got a good squad there.
I'd be interested to see, I touched upon this at some point, I can't remember when, Douglas Athletic altered their style when they came up, didn't they? They've been very, this swashbuckled the way to the Division 2. It was just, let's just score goals, wasn't it?
And yes.
Last year they became a more compact, hard-working, tight unit who made themselves hard to beat. Yeah. Just Martin up front on his own, usually.
That's right.
And it'd be interesting to see how Braddon, how Will and Mick set Braddon up this year. Are they going to have to shape? They're obviously going to have to change their shape, because it's not going to be a case of just blowing teams away with Andy's goals this year, is it? So it'd be interesting to see how they get on with that.
Yeah, well, I think you know, we mentioned Pacey and Dempsey. They're going to have to, if they're on the wings, they're going to have to drop back a lot and help out, which they're more than capable of doing. So yeah, I mean, it will nullify them slightly on the counter attack at times, I think. But they've got a good squad, so I think they'll stay up this year. Yeah.
And also, when I spoke to Will Smith last year, he did. The team is very, very fit. They're very, very organised. Mm-hmm. Like to get
it's your own
on
spot
the deck.
As well.
It is, yeah. And I do like to play it on the floor, but you know, whether or not they could still adapt, may have to like adapt a different style of play, playing the top flight, maybe. We'll wait and see. Yeah.
We'll wait and see. Of course, we'll wait and see for Joey Andrews' first Twitter question of the week. That'll be.
Oh, you got a flightly hat, you said you had a
look forward to that, hopefully, next week. Right, Division 2, from where Braddon have just come. We'll look at, there's a couple of good games in that this week. Hattie, you're off to Uni Mills Moraine. Two former. That is actually a fire alarm. Do we need to? Is anyone else moving?
It's a fire alarm.
Everyone's looking out the window, laughing at us now, because Rich is in the middle of the... Oh, yeah, we are moving.
Okay.
Right, we'll be back in a jiffy.
So, sorry about that interruption. We genuinely just had a fire alarm, didn't we?
Well, this podcast is on
fire. When was the last time we had a fire alarm?
It's about...
Actually, we probably better not say, because it's probably going to get the company into...
Yeah, health and safety, are you listening?
Well, that has to be a Manx Footy podcast first.
It is. It's the first time a podcast has ever interrupted our recording. I have to say, kudos to how he used all the procedures correctly, went out through the doors and everything. So
yeah. He knows his stuff.
So before we were rudely interrupted by the fire alarm, we were talking about you're off to Union Mills and Moran, two former Premier League clubs. This again is another gauge as to where these two are going to feature, isn't it?
Definitely, and as Dave alluded before, I think any teams above the top four, that maybe it was sort of top, what was it, nine clubs?
Yeah.
I think they're going to feature within the Paul Henry Gold Cup, and these two teams, I do believe, will be featuring or be thereabouts. I think Union Mills.
I think Mills have lost a few players this summer, though, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah, but we've already touched on the fact that Duna's left, and he's a wealth of experience. Yeah. And he commands his teammates quite a lot, doesn't he? He leads from the back.
Ronan McDonald's gone as well. I know he's going to be at uni anyway, but he's obviously signed for Corinthians. Jordan Crawley signed for St Mary's.
Brodie Patience.
Nathan Yates. There's a few
gone. So again, Mills going to have to trust in their famed academy system, aren't they?
What I will say though is, this has been put in the 4-5-1, Aki has been here before. Neil Akigadu, he obviously... When Douglas Athletic got promoted, he was in charge and playing the free-flowing attacking football. He knows how to do it. Yes, he hasn't got the same team as disposal, but he knows how to do it. So I think they'll be up there pushing.
Yeah, he's got a proven track record within the second tier too as well. And I was also speaking to Kyle Ewan yesterday. I work with him because I think he's...
He was a top scorer last year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be leading the attack again with Boothie.
Yeah.
And I think...
Booth, he's a good player, has to be said.
Yeah, very good player.
Yeah. On Earth at Governors, as it were.
Yeah. And I think probably... I think Kyle was part of that team that won the treble in 2012. Another player who's still in that 2012 treble-winning team will be Chris Kelly.
I was chatting to Chris the other day, and he's confident of a good season. Yeah. They've kept... With the exception of Duna and possibly Ronan, they've kept the majority of the spine of the team the same. I think your good friend Danny Christian's going to be the number one keeper this season as well.
Yes. So it's, I think going back 1 or 2 years ago, I think the combination keepers, they had like three keepers, so the combination keepers had to alternate week in, week out. But I think Danny will be the number one choice this year. Maroun will be a bit... I only saw Maroun once last year, and that's a season against Fox. Didn't really get much a chance to see them, so apologies to Keir and Dave Brewer on that. But I'm saying that too as well, every time I tend to report on them, they always lose. So I think
the curse of Hattie.
I think it was the fact that Dave was saying that every time we go down to cover them, we have to do some shots and they're probably
That was a good podcast last year. We had him and Colin Gilman, and there was talk of monkey brains and all sorts, wasn't it?
But I think they haven't really added much to the squad this year. They've lost Niall.
Earl Steele.
To Fox.
But in Moran, there is still a good core of players there. If Stewie Morris is in the mood, there's not many better strikers in that division. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. Yeah. Another big game at Tramode, Jim's Castletown, two of the other teams that are going to be in that top half, aren't they? Maybe even higher, because Castletown have been tipped by myself, by Hattie, and I think that is it. And Meps to win the league.
Yeah.
I think they'll certainly be up there. They had a very good year last year, Castletown, Sansbury will be looking to build upon that. They have lost Dan McLaughlin, who got them a few goals last year, but big plus, Richard Foden's back full time, and he's a huge player for them. You can't underestimate how big a player he is for them.
Yeah. I think the signing of Tommy Docherty is one to watch out for as well.
Yeah. Ross Mulligan as well.
Yeah. Tommy was sort of faded into that combi at Russian last year, but he scored a lot of goals. Midfielder sort of turned striker. Ross Mulligan as well. He's a goalkeeper turned goal scorer. And a Kieran Brown. You can't get more competitive than Hex, can you? I think they're all good signings. I think they're all going to be good signings. That's why I've put them at the top.
And if they could blend it with... I mean, they've got some cracking young players like Conor Garrett. I'm a big fan of his. He's such a good little winger. for them. Alex Corley, obviously, we know all about him.
Yeah.
He'll
firebrand striker.
Yeah, he'll back quite a few goals this year. Yeah, so I think they're a good season. Jim's, it's a bit of a difficult one with them. Now, I was chatting to Tony Sewell the other day. They've lost James Brown, a couple of other players. It's going to be quite a young squad, I think. Mm. But I think it'll be a bit of a transitional year for them. But I think it'll still be quite a solid year for them.
Yeah, there's rumours Barry Harding has left as well. He was been a massive player for Jim's over the last 10 years or so. The core of that squad that got them in the Premier League, Mark Connor, Nick Bowen, they're all getting to that age now where maybe the commitment's not going to be the same because of work, family, etc.
You touched on that, and I've just had a message off Nick Bowen actually. He's still going to play for them this year, and he's a big player for them, but him and his partner Sammy have just had another kid, second kid, so yeah, commitment-wise, it's a bit difficult for them, but...
So the other team that narrowly were pushing hard for the top two last season, and probably going to feature there again this year, was Foxdale. They go to Douglasson District in a game they lost this time last year, didn't they?
Yes, opening days. I think it was a midweek fixture, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, so
Robbie Jack, is he hopeful of promotion again this year?
Yes, he's talking very positively, and I wouldn't expect anything less from him. To be honest, he knows how to get those players up. I think big loss for them. Is Aaron Costain, and he has left. He's gone back to Peel.
Yeah,
And that's going to be a big miss for them.
31 league goals, but it has to be said, Jay Chatwood had 33. I suppose that's 64 goals between them. It's massive, isn't it?
It is. A lot of people are tipping Chatwood to get the silver boot this year, and I can't argue with that, really.
And do you think maybe likes of signing lights off Niall Quayle from Iran could maybe help fill that attacking void?
Yeah, no. Jay is a great player to play off. He can play a wide on the wing, or he can play up top. He brings players into the game. Aaron is just a born goal scorer, isn't it? It's in the genes. He's just a predator around the box, really.
Definitely.
Yeah, the proverbial fox in the box.
It's going to be hard to replace him. But the other players are still there. If you look at Anthony Corkle, Stewie Fail, Kev Pullman, although there's rumours he might be making a move back to Michael, but before deadline day, Hattie will clarify that on Saturday. But they're all big players and all good players at this level.
And I mentioned the three players that really are that spine of the team from last year, likes of Kevin, Tuana and Stewie too as well. So
it'll be interesting to see. D&D, although I see Dave described it as a quiet close season, but they brought quite a few players in, haven't they?
They had, but and as Hattie's exclusively revealed this morning, when I spoke to Dave the other day, he was worried about Malou with the free subs, and it's proven true that they have signed a couple more players from D&D. So, their squad size at Knowles Park has decreased somewhat. But I think it'll be a similar season for them from last year. Some good young players there coming through, another year experience for them. I think they'll have a good battle with the teams around them, to be honest. Nice. Although... I don't think D&D will trouble the so-called big teams.
I think D&D's success more last year was more. They did very, very well in the cup competitions, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
I think Rick Delaney's got the squad working well there. A big shout out to D&D as well. They almost cleaned up at the FA Awards, didn't they? Recently?
Yeah, they did.
They're obviously doing a lot of excellent work on and off the pitch.
Yeah,
and long may it continue.
Yeah, in terms of junior development, and they won that number of awards. Yeah, absolutely great what they do in the local broader community in terms of the development of the football at grassroots level.
And Dave Matheson, as he revealed at the FA Awards, he's got a bit of a project in the pipeline involving Dream Team, which he will probably reveal to the podcast later.
Very exciting. I look forward to that. Talking of the free subbers, Malou themselves, they welcomed Governors Athletic under new manager Tom Chamberlain to Clackvane on Saturday. They should be winning this if they're going to have any real intention of troubling their top four, shouldn't they?
Yeah, look at the players at their disposal. This should be fairly comfortable. Chamberlain's got an interesting season ahead of him, first year of management at Governors. He's quietly confident it'll be another year of progress, I think, and he's quite happy with the players he's got. He thinks there might be a little bit more movement before Saturday's deadline, as you will reveal.
Okay, watch this space.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see. Michael Eyre, Northern Derby, two teams who had probably seasons to forget last year.
Yeah.
have signed quite a few players, mostly youngsters, I think. It'll be nice to see them get out two teams this year. Yeah, Michael, again, going back to scratch, really. We had a message from one of our man in the know at Michael this week, and he said that they've had an encouraging week in the transfer market. A few more signings yesterday. And even rumours of a former Ireland manager going back to there, maybe before Saturday. So watch that space. Hattie, of course, will be there with the exclusives and the tie. So yeah, this will be good. The pressure's off these two teams now. They can just play football, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, in 4-5-1, at the time of going to press, Michael hadn't really done much business in the transfer market. So if they can get a few more players and strengthen that squad, that'll be huge for them. I do worry that they'd be short in numbers otherwise, but you know, they've got some good young players there again, and a good setup, I think.
I've just picked, as the kids say, got my DM. Michael Fraser Campbell is rumoured to be on the way back, Dean Wales from around. Possibly Coleman, who we mentioned, and of course the former Isle manager, Mr. Hurt, has also been rumoured a return to Balearo Road. Right. So if all four of them come off, that's a good injection, isn't
that? That's my prediction right out the window.
But we've not mentioned Dean Tate. We have not mentioned
my man Dean Tate.
Yes, we had. Well, I think a lot of the goalscoring responsibility to align his shoulders if they're to make any.
Well, let's be honest, he scored 15 goals in the Premier League last season. Yeah. Was it last
no mean feat for a team that's struggling.
No. Yes. He could score an absolute hatful in Division 2. I'm thinking about it now. Why didn't I tip? He could have been Silver Boot, really.
He'd be disappointed when he went. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting just reading the 4-5-1 there too as well, and also just Vic Key will be like the experienced players of Chris Smith. I remember him playing at Rollinsville. Paul Kennish, a good stalwart off the club, and Gordie Howard, they've got key roles to play this
especially
year.
As they've got a load of kids being blooded. So yeah, that'll be an interesting game. Another one that probably could be a bit of a score draw. That finally in Division 2 this week, if my maths are correct, Youthy are playing Paul Rose. Now Youthy have come out of the traps and look, I've gone into. Are you tipping for the title?
I have. I just think they've they've really bolstered their squad in areas that they needed to. I think they've got quite a well-balanced squad now, looking at it on paper at least. But also, Pulley have got a good squad. Paul Garvey's done some good business there. I know he's lost Darren Flanagan.
He's lost a few,
We've mentioned Dunn, mentioned Dale Walker. You know, they've lost a few, but he's also added a few, and there's still rumours going around about a certain high-profile, prolific Premier League striker which might make the move. The one big down for them... They signed Jamie Skillen, big sign for them. Unfortunately, he suffered a quite serious knee injury against Ayr in pre-season, so we don't know how long he's going to be out for. So best wishes to him for a speedy recovery.
He would have been a great sign in that.
Yeah. This will be a tough game. I fancy Youthy to come out on top though.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. We'll be reflecting on this in the next week's podcast, the week's results. Plus, there'll be a full roundup in the Examiner as always, and online on Saturday night if one of us can be bothered.
And on Prof Hattie YouTube page, I'm sure there'll be a few.
So you're at Mills, Moran, so they'll be getting the full multimedia experience this week.
They will be, Twitter, YouTube, and as you probably said in previous podcasts, I'm just making a general nuisance of myself.
Okay, Peru, bring the monkey brains for the match.
Right, don't forget our glorious annual, what we've been referencing a lot this last hour or so, is the glorious annual 4-5-1 pre-season pull-out, slap bang in the middle of this week's Manx Independent. As Hattie said, it's worth 90p of anyone's money, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, I had a lovely tweet from Dean Turton yesterday, said it'd been an interesting lunchtime read, which is a big compliment for us.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Dean.
You can listen to all of our Manx Footy pods, including last season's back catalogue, online at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. Of course, we're available as well on iTunes, and for the first time this season, TuneIn. Have you heard of the TuneIns?
I used to use TuneIn quite a lot. I'm going to have to download it again now, I think.
No.
For those of you who have those smart speakers, you can ask her to tune into that. Although, I did it last night, and she keeps trying to find... because it's Alexa, because I've got an Amazon one. She keeps trying to find the Manx 40 pod.
40 pod.
So, you might have to tweak that. Right, finally, keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Saturday's matches. We're, of course, at Manx 40 blog, and that's the best way to contact us, isn't it? Day
absolutely,
or night,
absolutely, yep.
Occasionally, we reply. All that's left to do is thank Hattie for coming in. Sorry about the fire alarm.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck for the season.
Well, thank you. And
I'm sure we'll be speaking to you before the end of the campaign.
Try and have a break at some point, Hattie. I don't think you've had time off for the past like 5 years.
No, if not on games, it's up at GB for the cycling.
Yes, we don't want you burning out mid-season. No. So, but are we going on holiday? Are we nice?
I'm going to a cruise on the Adriatic.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Yeah, so
no football.
No, you're going to scout some players for Everton.
I'm sure there'll be Twitter updates from the cruise. So keep your eyes peeled on that, mate. Hattie 1970. Thanks, Hattie. Thanks for all your work. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for just being you.
Okay.
Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.